Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Jules.
Hello, everyone.
Jules, my friend, E3 might be dead again for the third time. Many years in a row, we seem to proclaim this, but it might be deader than ever right now.
I feel like, yeah, every single time this rolls around, it's like the Grim Reaper's just like looking through his little list of people to go, like, E3, I swear I knocked this guy off before. So what's happening this time to kill off the once great video game convention?
So this time, we have an exclusive report coming from IGN, who've put out that apparently Sony, Nintendo, and Xbox will not be attending E3 this year. To literally quote the IGN report, IGN has heard from multiple knowledgeable sources that Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo won't be part of E3 2023 or have a presence on the Los Angeles Convention Center show floor. It is mentioned in here that Xbox are doing a neighboring event. They did that the last couple of years. They'll have something around about E3 season, but they won't have a booth on the show floor itself. There's a whole thing saying that Phil Spencer's been quoted at this and just saying that he does want to do something that's convenient for press and consumers. But again, they won't have a booth on the show floor. And he says, we will continue to work with the ESA, which are the governing body of used to be the governing body of E3, in terms of their plans. And he says that we're on board. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help make E3 successful, but they won't be in the place itself. So that's
we want to make it successful, except actually provide the content with which people pay money to go for and see. Yeah, that's a smart plan. To be honest, it's one of those things where we always, over the last couple of years, we've seen the drop off dramatically with E3, with the rise of the self-published, self-governed presentations and demo expo stuff. And in all honesty, as much as I am genuinely gutted from a personal standpoint that E3 is definitely on the decline, it does make sense from a financial and control aspect to not have to compete with anyone else, to have your own showcase, to be able to promote your games and nothing else. This is
true.
You basically are capturing an audience, you're telling them that there's a reason to be hyped for your console or your publishing outlet, and you're saying to them, why would I pay ridiculous amounts of money to go compete for attention with other people on this?
Well, that's
like
the thing. I mean,
they basically called E3's bluff by saying, we don't need to be there. And E3 always had that stance of saying, you need to be here to stay within relevancy. But as soon as somebody pulls out of that and proves that that is not the case, they basically just go, yep, you're right, we don't have the monopoly on holding everyone's attention. You can just do all of this, and for a fraction of the cost. Totally. I know I'm going off on one ear at the moment. So, but before I used to work at What Culture, I used to do marketing stuff, and we used to go to all of these conventions and set up our booths, and we went to like the XL Arena and stuff like that around London. And it was extremely like cold shower in winter, shrivelingly painful to look at the invoices come in at how much they were charging for it. I believe that at one point, for 1 meter squared of space to put your booth on, of which there was a minimum requirement for a 3-day event, it was $5,000 a day. So if you can imagine that there are booths out there that have hundreds of square feet, and that they have you pay extra for like having open walls and other bits like that onto it, and all these extras, and the power that goes into it, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are looking at that and going, hang on, lads. We could just hire a hall and do it ourselves for a fraction of the cost, and we'd
produce
it, and we'd live stream it and do it better, so there's no editing and no having to set up all of this stuff. And just here's the trailers. Here's a little bit of like to cam piece. So yeah, they shot themselves in the foot when they definitely priced themselves out of the market, because I heard that there was upwards of $10,000 to $30,000 a day for some people just to hire that space. That is, and it's a small fraction of a marketing budget for a video game, but it is a huge cost for what is effectively some space.
Would you like some space?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like overall as well, like the amount of different companies that have tried live streams, and even just recently, like the whole thing with the Developer Direct from Xbox, and then just randomly shadow dropping Hi-Fi Rush and it blowing up. Like it's outsold Forspoken, it's doing really well. Obviously, it's on Game Pass and everything. But it's interesting in terms of who owns the E3 itself as a show, because it used to be the ESA. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, I remember in like September-ish, there was like a whole leak about what they wanted to do going forward. And they had all these buzzwords. It's obviously pre-pandemic, so they had all these buzzwords, what they were going to do for 2020 show. And they wanted to like try and monetize when you were in the queue. You would have queue-tainment apps. Yeah. They had this whole thing about trying to monetize the consumers and trying to give us like social chits that they could cash in on later. They had just this PR term for making E3 the hotness that you want to get in on. And so
they turned something that was really cool, because the whole point of E3 was at the beginning, because it was exclusively industry and press at the very few first years, it became that sort of like exclusive event. It was effectively like the Oscars of like the video game world that you wished that you get invited to, that you wished that you had the insider knowledge of. So when they opened it up to the public, there was of course that massive rush of people who wanted to get there, and the fact that there were limited tickets, it created this, like, it's like FOMO. It's exploiting that of like, you cannot be here, so therefore you're going to pay loads to be here. It becomes the social event. But the more they kept on opening it up and turning it into like the Disneyland of the video game experience, and the monetization that came with it, it's basically just like, okay, it's not exclusive anymore, and it loses its luster, because let's face it, in the current climate that we're in, with video games costing as much as they do and the cost of living being as much as it is, the idea of flying over or traveling hours upon hours to get to an event like that for 2 or 3 days to maybe see one or two exclusives there, and maybe just like have your wallet completely ripped apart by, like you say, having to pay to be in a queue and stuff like that.
And stand in a queue for like 2 hours anyway.
Yeah, there's zero incentive. There is no incentive for me to go now to these things. I hate to sort of harp on some of the UK scene that's going on at the moment, but it's a similar feeling that I felt with the one that's just been, I can't remember, Eurogamers one, EGX. It was like, I went there and there were no exclusives. There was maybe like a Call of Duty map that was new, and but it had already done the circuit.
Sonic Frontiers was there, mate. Don't you worry about it.
But you see what I mean? It was like it was so much less than it had been over the last couple of years. And if you don't have these big names, there's no point in going. It just becomes an indie fest. And as much as you and I champion indie games as a whole, and we do think that they are the future, I feel less inclined to travel that distance to go play something that I know a trailer will drop for by the time that I've got home. You know what I mean?
Might have a demo for it as well.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's like, it's interesting because obviously certain age groups, like we grew up idolizing E3, like there are certain E3 reveals that still get talked about, like Halo 3's E3 reveal or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it was a massive, massive deal. And I feel like now it just, it hasn't been that for so long. Obviously the pandemic kind of knocked them sideways anyway, but even the plans they had in motion, like I said, from 2019 might have killed it anyway. Like you were mentioning FOMO before. In that whole report, it was like this whole leaked set of PowerPoint slides that they put out to people in 2019. And I'm sure FOMO was mentioned in there about trying to weaponize FOMO or something. So it's like, The ESA, who were in charge of E3, they're not anymore. It's a new company called ReedPop. And so I don't know what the hell those guys usually do. But ReedPop are attempting to put together the first sort of like big bang E3, like, you know, in this year and everything. And whatever's going on behind the scenes, that's resulted in, you know, the major companies, the Sony, Xbox, and Nintendo, saying, in theory, not going to attend. So we had the Xbox comment from Phil Spencer. And we had Video Games Chronicles' Andy Robinson tweeted saying that Nintendo apparently doesn't feel like they have enough major releases ready to show that would justify significant event space. So I guess, like you said, that ties in with the amount of money that they would be spending to be there. And maybe all they have is, I don't even know, like Metroid Prime 4? Like there's
do you know
little.
What? That still blows my mind just thinking about that statement. That deserves unpacking. That Nintendo, in this day and age, when they really only have a handful of IPs to really worry or care about, are that bereft of their own additional content. Mm-hmm. They've opened up the Switch massively over the last couple of years to allow lots of third-party developers to come onto the platform, and they've created some stupendously amazing titles that make the most of the hardware. Yet, if they're not thinking that that's enough to champion and they're only interested in first-party titles, then come on, Ninty, pull your finger out of your backside and actually start, like, get on with it, because at the end of the day, if we had rumours of a new Mario Kart coming out, whoopee, you've got like seven other DLC big IPs. Come on, man, like, hurry things
up. I feel
on.
Like Nintendo's in a weird place where, like, the idea of the Switch Pro leaked for so long and it was a big conversation point, and it didn't happen. We got the OLED one, and it's like, and then the most recent leaks on that stuff is that it's not coming until next year. So you'd think they'd have some big blowout for this year, but I don't know how much like video game development time crosses over where certain dev teams have maybe got hands on with the new hardware, but they're not. It's not actually coming out this year, so it's almost like this year is another filler. Obviously, there's Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That's a big old single release,
but is just one game.
That's one game. So it's like, other than that, I was thinking maybe they do some sort of shadow drop for a new Mario. You have the Mario movie this year, so why not do something with that? Yep. And like you said, new Mario Kart and whatever. But yeah, so that's apparently why Nintendo's not going to be there. Sony have dropped out of the last 2 years, and IGN said they haven't reported or confirmed they're going to be there this year. So I guess that might change, but I doubt Sony would be there if Nintendo and Xbox aren't going to be there. And overall as well, you mentioned the idea of like what E3 used to be, and like over the years it's changed and become a lot more consumer focused. Apparently they do have a new rollout for how they want to do the days. So it's a 4-day event now, which I guess it has been sometimes in the past. And but the overall show will start with the first 2 days just being for business attendees. And then the third day is a crossover when consumers are allowed in, and the fourth day is a consumer day. So it's not as consumer focused as like an EGX. Like they are trying to get back to like the origins of it when it was like a tech showcase.
The problem is that the rise of the ease of accessibility for companies to do their own presentations and promos, and the rampant success of previous ones, like, where is the incentive to go to E3? Like, it's not about the people anymore, because when you look at the amount of live captured audiences on any one of those streams, it far outweighs the amount of people that would even be there at a specific point in the day that you did your showcase. So I struggle to see how E3 actually attracts people to come back there. It might just turn into, like you say, a networking event, and that's it. But even then, if you don't have the big guys there, what's the real end goal of this?
Well, there's there's no financial. Like, if you were Sony and you have Ghost of Tsushima 2, there is no reason you would hang on to that until E3 anymore. You would just do your own Sony State of Play, and that would get the word out anyway. And then all the news coverage and the marketing and social media takes care of the virulent side of it anyway. So, like you said, it's almost like that's the thing. It's like, is there no place for a physical game show anymore in terms of it being a reason to reveal something? It's like reveals are almost fundamentally online now. Like, there's almost no reason holding back for a physical event anymore.
You've also got to look at it as the way of when you have your own showcase, you get to control the message that's spun out there. And let's face it, trying to work within a gigantic live show where there's hundreds of other people doing presentations, there's a lot of technical hiccups that go along there. This mitigates a significant portion of that, because you go, right, we have one sound booth, we have one mixer, we have this, go, and everything is either pre-recorded and we can just control the message that's put out there.
Totally.
Where it's live, it's just like, you get, well, infamous moments, like how many biggest fails of E3?
With Uncharted 4, where it was just didn't work. Couldn't move him, couldn't move Drake. So that's a really good point. I mean, things like that whole E3 cringe thing is like another part of like what we grew up with, that there are tons of E3 cringe compilations. But I guess ultimately, yeah, it doesn't help the devs. It doesn't help the what they're trying to get, you know, trying to get you to buy into something or sell something. I guess closing thoughts, do you think they'll still, what do you think it'll the vibe will be coming out of E3 this year? Is this the last one?
Well, the only way that they could try and spin it and save it is if they tell people that this is no longer about the giants, that it is about the gamers, that they actually lean into those people pulling out and say that they almost don't care about you, but this is now a convention for gamers, so we're going to focus more on sort of like speedrunning events, competitions, community building aspects, something to bring people together in the wake of people dropping out. So it's not about the reveals, it's about the feels, as it were, and you're basically just like trying to connect with a wider gaming audience. If you can make E3 into... Well, I'm trying not to use emotional manipulation as being the key aspect here, but if you use emotional marketing to make people care about E3 in a different way, other than it's the big reveal, the excitement factor, that's how it will survive, but it will be on a much smaller scale than what it is in the past or is now.
Yeah, I think that kind of ties in with, they could still, assumedly, still do deals with the Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo in terms of like, I don't know, like eShop vouchers or something, and then you have a speedrunning tournament that's like, it lets them sort of be, still have the branding there, and maybe they don't spend as much on the booth space and everything. There is a comment from someone from ReadPop saying that they've had interest from major third-party companies and everything, and they still have a lot of interest in the event, but obviously they would say that in general. It's not like it's going to die overnight or anything. It's just that it feels like a major blow to lose three of the pillars of the three pillars of gaming in terms of the big first-party teams and the hardware teams. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of E3, what your favorite E3 memories, and how do you think it'll fare after this year. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
And I have been Jules.
And we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.